Welcome to the Tune Shed, the workshop for everything from music history, theory, creative process, production, you name it. We're here to become better music listeners, better creators, and better music lovers. I'm your host, Blake, and I'm here with my dear childhood friend and professional musician, Marty Gray. What is up, Marty?
Hello, children. It is EQ time.
Oh my gosh.
Yay!
How've you been, dude?
Not bad, not bad. I was just thinking, I think I read that intro like exactly the same as last time, and so I might try to splice them up later and see how close I was, because points for that, right?
Yeah, points for that. You want to be consistent. You want people to feel like it's the intro. Mmm. Ooh, the podcast is starting. I can feel it.
Mmm. Wait a minute. What's that feeling?
It feels like two men talking. Mmm.
So what's up with you? What's up with the queue?
I don't know, bro. I got a cocktail rolling bar for Christmas, and so I've been slowly kind of like purchasing different potions and making cocktails and stuff, and I'm very bad at it. So that's fun.
Well, I mean, alchemy and potion making, that's like a serious skill. It takes time and perseverance.
Yeah, it takes a lot of reading and a big beard and stuff. It really does feel like alchemy, though, you know?
Absolutely. Well, everything's a different color and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's good.
Okay. Should we get into it? Should we just dive right in to the madness?
You know what? Let's just dive right in. Let's do it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
What are we talking about today?
Today, we are talking about EQ, but not that kind of EQ. We're not talking about the boring kind of EQ. We're talking about the kind of EQ that makes fun stuff happen.
Fun stuff. Fun stuff.
Doesn't sound very fun yet, does it? I'm realizing I didn't really sell that very well.
It's going to be fun, kids. Trust me.
I think of EQ, I think of like, oh God, I probably should do that at some point to make things good, but I don't know what I'm doing.
It's one of those like musician things where you're at the club and you're like, so baby, listen, equalization, it's like the most important thing in music. It's what makes every song sound great. She's like, I don't care.
Well, you're selling it. Sounds fun.
Well, that's the point of this whole thing. I want to make it fun. I want to make it not a boring, pedantic thing that most musicians just know of as a mixing tool. EQ can actually be used mm-hmm. as an effect, and it's really fun if you know what you're doing.
Really?
Yes, it's really fun. Trust me, it's really fun.
Whoa. Okay, tell me more.
All right. So before we get into the fun stuff, we quickly have to just make sure everyone's on the same page about what EQ is. So at its core, EQ is a short way of saying equalizer, and it adjusts the volume of any frequency range inside an audio signal. And of course, those of you that have never really learned about what an EQ does is thinking, huh, that doesn't sound fun at all. So unpacking this a bit, all noises have a range of frequencies inside them, right? This is called the harmonic spectrum.
Ooh. Ooh.
Harmonic spectrum. We're going to have a whole episode about the harmonic spectrum because it's awesome. And the way it works is actually really cool.
And wait, can't you use the harmonic spectrum to like turn a bass drum note into a major chord via speeding it up in polyrhythms?
The short answer is yes. The long answer is yes, but and then a lot of words after that.
All right, until next time.
Until next time. We could use the harmonic spectrum to make all sorts of wacky stuff happen. Mm. But the Cliff Notes version is the lowest frequency of a noise is called the fundamental. Right? So if you hit a snare drum, that little ringing, the lowest ringing, the goo, that's the fundamental. That's the lowest note in the range. And then the range of frequencies then extend upwards forever. Yes, forever, technically. Functionally, though, the range is only useful to talk about if we can hear it. So us in the audio world, we technically say that the range extends to the top of your audible spectrum. So, for example, if you play, let's say, like a B-flat 3 on an acoustic guitar, it's like, dung, the fundamental would measure at exactly 233.08 hertz, and that range would extend up to your hearing ceiling, which for most adults is around 15 kilohertz. Some can hear up to 18. Some, you know, most older children can hear up to 20. A lot of older men can hear up to 10. So it really varies widely, but the average is around 15 or 16 kilohertz. So that's the entire harmonic spectrum. Is for that note, the harmonic spectrum would be around 233 hertz all the way up to 15 kilohertz.
Okay, and that's just like the wave size, right?
Yeah, that's the hertz is the wave size, right? And again, this is all very technical and not really all that useful to understand completely when you're working with EQ as an effect. But just so we cover all our bases and so we prove to everyone that we really do know what we're talking about. So for those of you that have ever used a graphic EQ, you know, that's the EQ that makes those little mountains when noises pass through it. It looks, you know, all the bumpies and the mountains, they all, you know, you can see it all in the graphic equalizer. That's what the graphic EQ is showing. It's showing the harmonic spectrum, all the notes, all the frequencies inside of the noise that you are trying to make. Right? And the cool thing, and the fun thing, trust me, kids, it's fun, is you can mess with the harmonic spectrum a ton. And that's what EQ as an effect is all about.
Right? I see.
So this is sort of the crux of the point that I want to make today, is lots of musicians know EQ as, quote, that thing mix engineers use to wield engineer magic and make your song sound good, blah, blah, blah. And it is. That's what mix engineers primarily use to organize your music and make it sound really good. But I think not enough people use EQ as a simple effect tool. And that's sort of the direction that I want to wrench us in toward right now.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So let's talk tools before we do anything else. When I make anything, and honestly, whenever I mix for a client, the very first thing on almost every track that I use is Ableton stock EQ. And for those of you that are a little bit further along in your production journey, you might be like, oh, really? you use Ableton stock EQ? And I do. I love Ableton stock EQ. First of all, and we'll get a little technical here, it has every... it has every cut shape that you would ever need. Right? It has comb filtering detection. It has mid-side. It has an internal after gain. It has a really receptive Q knob. It's everything you would want in an EQ. And you can blow it up to fill your whole screen so that you can be really precise with it. But also, it's just like, it's really easy and there's no lag. It's wonderful. Pro Q, I will say, is the bougie version of Ableton stock EQ, and it's absolute heaven. I love Pro Q. For those of you that have a little bit to drop, Pro Q is worth it. It's very colorful, super receptive. It has a parametric option, blah, blah, blah. Waves, Analog Obsession, UAD, and Isotope are four companies that all have a ton of EQ options, both in the graphic EQ department, multiband department, and also in the vintage and analog department. I will say that when you're working with EQ as an effect, it is fun to toy around with analog clones, because specifically when you boost certain frequencies in an analog clone, you can create some really fun saturation and distortion ideas, right? You can, those plugins actually do change the harmonic content of whatever you're deciding to do. But that is a little bit more advanced than what we're talking about today. And I'll probably stay away from like the whole analog clone conversation, because again, we'll probably do a whole episode on analog clones versus their real analog counterpart, but that's a whole other bag of worms.
Yeah, I was going to say that's where you lost me right there, is with the analog clones. But yeah, let's get into the EQ effects. I you know, I've played with graphic EQs and stuff, so yeah, let's start there.
Oh, of course. And like, graphic EQs are more than what you need to like make cool stuff happen.
Okay.
Right? Because there's you could do so much. You just can. So here's where I want to start. I want to start with, I'm going to do every single thing that you're about to hear on Ableton graphic EQ, right? Just the stock Ableton plugin. I'm pretty sure Logic has a similar version. They have like a stock EQ, like a graphic 8-band visual EQ that's very similar.
Yep. I can attest to that.
Sweet. So everything that we're going to talk about is made with stock, just stock plugin.
And stock means it just comes with the program, right? It's not like anything that you're buying on.
Yeah. Right.
Cool.
Yeah, right. It just comes with the, and a lot of people, you know, a lot of producers don't use stock plugins at all. They like to buy all of their plugins third party, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Most producers have a mix of both. I definitely have a mix of both. And a surprising number of producers use way more stock plugins than you might think.
Mm. Yeah, I can see how a tendency would come about to be like, oh, you know, if, you know, it's like picking from a loop library. You kind of don't want to be picking from the same library that everyone else is, because then there's this idea that maybe your music will sound the same. Maybe there's a bit of that about plugins too, but maybe it's a misconception, because really there's obviously, like with EQ, like what you're saying is there's tons of way to use it. So interesting.
Yeah. No, you're definitely right. And I think at the end of the day, it's kind of just what you fall into using most comfortably and most often, you know? And I just happen to use Ableton
with,
huh? EQ all the time, because it, I don't know why. No clue. So I guess,
I mean, if it does what you want.
Yeah. If it does what you want. I mean, a lot of people will tell you most graphic EQs do virtually exactly the same thing. And there's some water to that. There's some water to that weight.
There's some weight to that water. Wait, what's the expression? Is that an expression?
There's some water under that bridge.
There's some water over the bridge and under it as well. That you could.
Okay, so
it's been a long day.
should we stop selling and should we start showing?
Yeah, we're not even sponsored by. Don't buy any of those plugins.
Yeah, don't buy any of those stupid plugins. Unless
later we get sponsored by them. And yeah. Anyways, get in.
Unless Waves wants to sponsor us, then I would love to hype up. So, okay, let's start with simple high-pass filter, right? Which means that we're going to suck out all of the low end of a signal, right?
Ooh.
Right?
So high-pass, low-end, it's the opposite.
I know. I always hated that. I actually don't. I try not to use high-pass and low-pass because I feel like it's confusing. Maybe I'm just stupid. But I feel like it's like, I've always been confused too. Yeah, I don't know.
Yes, because you're cutting the lows. That's a way better set of terminology. Take that away. Oh my gosh, because it's built into the word instead of.
I agree with you.
So we're going to do low cut.
Yeah, so we're going to cut out the lows of a signal, right? Easy, but you'd be surprised what this can do as sort of setting up your effect chain. I think the most widely used like low cut is with an indie vocal, right? So I'm gonna play just a dry snippet of my famous indie vocal. This is my indie vocal. No, 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 no. Okay, great. That's an indie vocal.
Ooh, I love it.
So we're gonna as this goes on, we're gonna start moving our low end roll off slowly upwards to where we're sort of cutting the first fundamental of the signal. So this is what it'll sound like when we move that.
This is my indie vocal. No, 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 no.
Right? So there's definitely not as much body to that signal anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that this might not sound like a good idea at first, but when you couple it with a little bit of reverb and maybe pushing yourself through like an amp or something, all of a sudden you get that indie sound. Mm. So again, here's the signal with just the low cut.
This is my indie vocal. No, 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 no.
Right, that sounds kind of tinny, right?
Yeah, it does.
So I'm going to add a little bit of reverb and then a cabin plugin, which is a plugin that is made to emulate sort of an amp cab.
This is my indie vocal. No, 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 no.
Right, all of a sudden.
Sounds great.
You have sort of an artsy, weird indie vocal.
This is my indie vocal. No, 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 no.
And that's that indie sound, right? Like,
yeah, totally. I was going to say, it probably fits in the mix real nicely, too, if you have like a big bass line or something. It's because that low end is gone. It doesn't compete, right?
Oh, you're totally right. Yeah, and if you sort of like... I'll add the low end back in.
This is my indie vocal. No, 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 no.
Like, it loses that indie sound.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? Like, you want that, like, tinny, like, sucked out, no body vocal thing.
This is my indie vocal. No, 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 no.
Yeah, it's like a character change. You know what I mean? It's really like it's a change of character when it
right.
You switch between the two.
Yeah. I agree. It's like, it's such a simple thing where you just like get rid of all of the body on a lead vocal and all of a sudden things really open up to you. You could, by the way, you could saturate the crap out of that signal. You could put that through so much distortion and it still sounds wonderful.
Hmm. Wait, what's saturation again?
Well, saturation is sort of a broad term to mean any effect that adds frequency information to your signal, right? So that it encompasses anything from like tube saturation to like tape saturation to distortion to clipping on purpose. You know, it's like really anything that adds harmonic information to your signal.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Cool.
Yeah. So what happens if we do this the other way? What happens if we cut the high end?
All right.
Try it for yourself. I think one of the coolest things to do with cutting a bunch of high end is with kick drums, right? So most kick samples sound complete. They sound like, you know, like a mallet hitting a bass drum. You know, big and, you know, but what if you wanted to make this more of a thump? What if instead of like, go, 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 you wanted like, ooh. Right? So what
you're deep in the club.
Oh yeah, you're deep in the club. Maybe you're in the bathroom.
Ooh. Bathroom in the club.
And you hear right?
You just shut the door in the bathroom and that's what happens.
That's exactly what happens. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you leave the club. You leave out the back door. And that's what it is. You lose all the high end. But that's what it is. If you ever needed that, if you ever want like a less aggressive kick drum, you don't want as much of that like high end clackiness, get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Cut out all the high end.
Makes sense. Walk outside the club.
Easy, right? You've completely changed the entire character of your kick drum with one easy EQ swoop.
Yeah, that's very quick and easy to add on. And it's also sort of, the thing I like about EQ and maybe EQ effects too, or that I'm sort of realizing in the moment, is it's very simple to remember these things because you can sort of imagine, okay, what would it sound like if I walked outside right now on anything and it was something's playing inside, right? So it's kind of easy to remember. You're like, oh, I'll quickly just swoop this. That's the effect I want. And so, some effects are easy to sort of understand what it's going to sound like. And some are like, well, I don't really know. I have to turn the knob to know.
Precisely. Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. And the cool thing about EQ, too, is it's so easy to mess with. You just grab one of the little nubs and you just drag it around.
And it's graphic, so it's pretty.
It is pretty. Yeah, and it's fun. It's fun to see what your signal's doing and see all the frequencies disappear. It's 100%.
You're selling me now. You're selling me.
See, it's fun. I told you. Okay, so what happens if we do both, right? Low pass and high pass, or low cut and high cut. So This is one of those things where it's really fun to play with because you can find really interesting, like, old radio things to do, right? So if you're a lo-fi hip-hop producer and you have some sample of, like, I don't know, Obama talking on TV, and you want to make it sound like he's coming through a radio, look no further than EQ, because all you have to do is cut the low end up to like 900 or 1K and cut the high end all the way down to like 3K or 2K, and all of a sudden it sounds like a radio. So here's the, you know, here's the stock vocal.
I've got some hot water for sale. Warm water for sale, and also cold water for sale. Water of all different temperatures.
Okay. So that's our...
How much is it? How much is the water? You didn't say. Oh.
I didn't say how much it was. Oops. My bad.
So I bet it's a deal.
So that's our stock vocal. So what I'll sort of work on the fly. So I'm going to low cut first and then high cut
I've
after.
I've got some hot water for sale. Warm water for sale, and also cold water for sale. Water of all different temperatures. I've got some hot water for sale. Warm water for sale, and also cold water for sale.
So now, you know, now it sounds like it's coming through some old radio or like a cassette or something.
I immediately imagined a small wooden box with a speaker and one knob on it and an antenna.
Right.
As soon as you like pulled that high end down too, it's like, yeah, that's awesome.
That's it. And you can sort of, at least with Ableton Graphic EQ, you can boost frequencies too while you're rolling them off. So I have my high cut knob held down right now, and I'm going to boost exactly where I stopped it.
I've got some hot water for sale. Warm water for sale, and also cold water for sale.
Right, so now it's like weirdly 3K, 2K heavy, and it sounds even more like a radio, like a broken radio.
Interesting. Is that just because radios... Wait, did you say this? Is that just because radios, like, didn't have the best speakers ever?
Yeah, basically. I mean, it's also because, like, when what we imagine as, like, an old radio thing, it's mainly because, like, microphones... weren't as good at picking up low end, and also speakers weren't as good at replicating low end back in the day, and we just got better at it as time went on.
I see. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, the microphone part too.
Oh yeah,
all the scratchy old recordings,
right? Yeah, exactly. Like, we weren't as good at recording low end or high end, so we just were left with all of the middle stuff, which is what
I've got some hot
that's literally
water for
what
sale.
We're replicating right here.
Warm water for sale, and also cold water for sale. Water of all
history
all
repeating, right?
Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, but it's such an easy way to get that thing, right? So, I think now we can safely talk about automation. Automation is so obviously when you are playing a song. Or when you're producing a song, you don't want to have to move things every time, so you make the computer do it. Right? That's what automation is. So if I were to, for example, if I wanted to program in like a transition, if I wanted the low cut and the high cut to sort of like branch out and open up the song as it went, I wouldn't want to do that every time. So I would program it in, right? That's like that's the thinking behind automation.
Okay. So the only person who wouldn't program it in is like the DJ on stage is like, oh, I got nothing to do but bounce and turn knobs. DJ button, about to press another. Right?
Yeah, what do DJs do? I've never known.
I wonder if there's a DJ out there who just like actually has everything automated. And they just go up there and they just like bounce around and like pretend to turn knobs, but they're not doing anything. They literally just hit play and that's the whole set.
I wonder if that's like the big DJ secret.
All DJs already know this.
did we just like oust DJs as being frauds?
We'll let you know if we get any hate mail from DJs. We'll put that on the next episode.
If we just ousted the whole industry, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Just kidding. Well, at any rate, if you wanted to automate a transition in, so let's say I have a song called Glory Days out on Spotify, shameless plug, and if I were a DJ, I would make a transition where the start of the song was all low cut, right, to give it that sort of like closed off, distant feeling, and as the song progressed and it got closer and closer to the first vocal, I would slowly open it up, right? So I would automate that. I might even do it on both ends. I might do a high pass and a low pass. So that would kind of sound like this. Right, so no low end, no high end. Still nothing. But so now we'll slowly branch out. Root awakens clemency. Right?
Whoa, that slaps. That is so cool how it just sets your vocals up to like, it just like the whole floor drops beneath you, it feels like, but actually it's just frequencies opening up, huh?
Right. Yeah, so you can do all, so I mean, that's what I just demonstrated is a really common like DJ tool, you know, like cutting all the low and high end and then like opening up right at the perfect time to give the song a bunch of gravity. Like that is really common and honestly really simple.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like you just put in two dots and sort of it faded from all the way cut to inward, or oh my gosh, my words here. It faded from all the way cut to not cut at all, right?
Yeah. You're right. You could put a bunch of very technical EQ terms together. Be like, yeah, so what you're doing is you're cutting the dominant fundamental all the way to the mid-low range peak.
Ah,
I see what you're doing.
I see what you're doing.
That makes sense. I love it.
You know, Marty, it's been a few episodes since I've brought this up, and no better time than now, just as I sort of stutter over my own words here, to say, you know, I just took a huge sauna earlier today and I think I'm pretty dehydrated. I'm sort of feeling
you took a sauna.
Yeah, I cranked it in there and holy wow, it was hot, you know.
You were cranking the sauna right there. Holy wow. And you gotta drink some of that Dasani.
Here's the best part, there wasn't even any snow outside, so I had nothing to go out and cool off in, and I think I just overcooked.
Yeah, I think you burn yourself a little bit on the inside.
A little bit there, so forgive me now as I hydrate.
Think you burned the inside of the pasty right there.
Little shout out Marquette, Michigan. Marty and I are from a small town, and that's why we sometimes talk like that. And also shout out to saying sauna like the way the Finnish people do. It's the right way. Anyways, just wanted to say that. Back to the show.
If we can pigeonhole sauna into every... as many episodes as we can, I think we'll have done our job.
Every three or four episodes, I'll bring it up.
I love it. Yeah, let's bring it up as much as possible. All right, well, speaking of sucking the insides out of something using steam, let's suck all the mids out of this piano signal.
Wow, transition.
This is just a little piano. Right, so super simple, easy.
It's lovely.
Oh, thank you.
Did you write that?
Yeah.
Wow, I just that's like exactly my mood right now. So it's really nice.
It's the after sauna mood.
Yeah, peaceful.
Very peaceful. Well, okay, so audibly, what I'm hearing is that this signal is very even across the frequency spectrum, right? It's really complete with very loud fundamental, but also very loud mids, and it falls off around 2 or 3K, right? So what happens if we just suck out all of the mid stuff? We leave the fundamental, but we suck out everything in between until the height of the signal, which is like 2 or 3K. Then here's the old signal. This is what it sounds like normally. And here's what it sounds like with all the mids sucked out. Completely changes the vibe, right?
It does, yeah. And wait, can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
So the fundamental, okay, so that's the lowest part of the note. How do you choose where to cut there when you're cutting out the mids? Because you don't want to cut the fundamental and you don't want to cut the highs, but you're playing different notes, so isn't that kind of moving around as you go?
That's a good question. Yeah, and that's actually a super good point. You, with graphic EQ, you can sort of see the lowest spot, right? So if I turn off this EQ and I just let it play, I can see that the lowest part of the mountains in this graphic EQ, right around 100.
Okay. Right? So you can just easily not cut there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you just start the cut above 100. So you so just sort of let 100 to 150 breathe. But I'm
so yeah,
with this,
that's a nice feature.
Oh yeah, it's lovely. Well, that's the great thing about graphic EQ is you don't have to hear so hard. You can just sort of look at it, which I will be honest, that can be a mixing crutch that's a bad trap to fall in if you're a mixing engineer. But again, this ain't a mixing podcast. So we can just use our eyes, baby.
I'm maybe not very good at hard hearing, but I am hard to hear. Or I mean hard of hearing.
Jeez. Oh Lord.
Oh. Okay.
But so this EQ is cutting. Like, it's not even subtle. This EQ pattern that I have right now is cutting like everything from 200 to 900 by like 13 decibels. It's really aggressive. It looks like a big mountain. Whoa. But it does sound relatively sucked out. But if I were to sing over this, it would totally work because my fundamental's right around 200. As like a high male, you know, if I'm like,
ooh, so
then it totally leaves space for you.
So I guess when you're making your own music and thinking about this kind of stuff, one is okay. What are some cool effects? Like, do I want sort of an indie vocal? Maybe do I want a thump instead of like a sort of kick drum that you can hear the sort of beater part of that? Or the other way to think of it is, hey, my vocals aren't really sticking out. What else in the mix is in the way where I could cut it and sort of give it some personality, but also make room for my vocals, right?
Yeah, that's 100% how you should be thinking about it. And that's what I want to encourage everybody to at least take away from this episode is like, oh, I have the power to completely change the character of a sound really easily with EQ. Like, I don't have to rely on fancy choruses or you know, compressors or distortion or whatever. Like, I really have a lot of power with just my like stock EQ plugin, right?
Yeah.
And I think my aim is to give everyone a few fun tricks to try and to sort of get comfortable with like thinking about EQ as a thing that changes timbre and character first.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
So timbre and character instead of
just, you know, the unfun version of what that saying is, changing the levels of the harmonic content inside of a signal.
Oh, gotcha.
You know what I mean? As opposed to that pedantic, whatever that pedantic thing is. So I have two more things that I have like prepared to demonstrate. And to demonstrate that, I took a Juno synthesizer and I just recorded a quick pad layer. Right? So this is like your typical 80Z pad layer. Just easy moving notes in there every once in a while. And the reason I chose this to use is because there's a lot of harmonic content inside of that signal, and it's really quite even. Right?
Okay.
So the first fun, like, and now we're getting into crazy person territory. The first really fun thing that I want to show you guys is the what I like to call the warbly pad trick, right? And what it is you choose one frequency to boost by like 6K and you make the Q signal pretty slim so it looks like a little nub, right? And so you have just a 6 decibel boost of a pretty slim frequency margin, nothing crazy. And then what you do is you can do either one of two things. You can automate the frequency of that boost to sweep up and down a section of the frequency spectrum, or you can map the frequency to an LFO and have the program do it for you, right? So what it'll look like is that little notch on the frequency spectrum will go up and down on its own. And it'll sweep from the fundamental to whatever you decide to do. In this case, I had it sweep from 200 to around 2K at around 0.15 hertz. And it sounds like this. Right? Do you hear that like effect?
Yeah. So it's sort of, you get that sweeping effect, but it also is, you know, as those notes are sort of moving around, it's sort of picking, okay, this one's getting highlighted right now. And then it sort of moves and it's like, oh, actually this one's getting highlighted now. And it's sort of moving around with that too, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's doing. Yeah. Just, I like to think of it as giving the pad a little bit of random life. Like things are like frequency content inside of it is randomly growing and getting softer.
You know, I held my breath that whole time. I was gonna say, I think that actually is kind of a theme in music, that adding a little bit of randomness. Like, for example, a lot of times people will add a little bit of, we talked about this before, like a record scratchy sound, just real quiet in the background to give some texture. Or I've seen producers go through and like every single snare drum hit is slightly different. Like either they pitch it up and down or move it a little off beat or something, just to give the whole thing, like that little bit of randomness is somehow associated with like the life of a song. And people do a lot of work to make that happen. So I guess you could kind of think of this. I mean, it's a cool effect. It definitely, but it also, it gives that synth a character, right?
Oh, I'm so glad you brought up the snare drum thing, because a really popular thing right now for hip hop producers is they'll play the beat out on their like MIDI pad. Like they'll actually play it with their fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're supposed to do is then you're supposed to highlight everything and you're supposed to quantize it perfectly to the grid so that it's perfect. But a really popular thing to do right now is to quantize it 50%. And so it only fixes your mistakes 50% of the way. So it still leaves a little bit of that like human error touch. But you're totally right. You're totally getting at like a really great thing about music, especially music produced on a MIDI-heavy platform like Ableton or Logic, is that, yeah, like, that human thing is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you don't make that, it's just, it feels stale, doesn't it? And you, like, how you make that is really important.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's almost like the more tasteful human error you can leave into your production, people kind of dig it, you know?
Yeah, and actually, it was one of the things I liked about Stuck to You is that when we were talking about that, I messed up that drum beat quite a bit. But then I didn't fix it, and over time I was like, actually, there's only a few hits in here that are really bad and I need to change, and I'll leave the rest a little jarring and off-putting. That's great. And then you said you liked it, so that really backed me up too.
Oh, yeah. And doesn't that say a lot about the whole philosophy of that I got your drums and I was like, damn, this kid is so fresh. He like made this stuff so bouncy. Like he did it. He like made it behind the beat on purpose. Meanwhile, it's just you like, oops, I just kept messing up.
I probably like changed the tempo slightly after, and then it was like, oh no, and then it was already quantized. I don't know. Who knows what happened? Like, it just ended up that way and kind of grew on me over time. That's also a lesson in not to judge what you make so quickly, because it's happened to me with actually like melodies and stuff too, not just beats, but make something and I'm like, ah, I don't really like that. Put it away. And then I just kind of play it and play it back and play it back. Don't change much. And eventually I'm like, no, I love this. This is great. This is what it's supposed to be.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's weird.
I mean, hey, man, that's a testament to your ears, though. If your ears are telling you like, hey, man, this isn't perfectly on the grid. It's not even really on time, but it's kind of sweet. You got to listen to your ears.
Yeah.
You got it.
Fair enough. If it sounds good, it's good.
Yeah. Well, so an extension of this idea, this like filter sweeping thing, is we don't have to make the sweeping perfect, right? Or linear. Because what we were hearing was a perfect LFO going back and forth at 0.17 hertz. And we heard very, very smooth, and very even. But what if we sort of randomized it? Right? So what you just heard is that same exact thing, but I automated that notch on the EQ to be completely random. I just drew in random shapes, right? And so you were probably hearing like random sweeps in there, like, you know? And that's
a lot of character.
It's funny you brought that up, that human element, because it's 100% random, right? We can even go faster. Like, here's a faster version.
More random.
Huh.
We can even go faster.
Whoa, why does this sound like rain? Or like, not rain, but like weird water droplets all of a sudden.
So what's happening right now is that's that same thing, but it's going really fast between 900 and 2K.
Mm.
Like really fast, like one, like really, really quick. Can you imagine if you slapped like a delay on this? Like some sort of echo? Wait, let me do that. I'm curious. What
I was like,
happen?
I'm trying to imagine that. It almost like, it's crazy how like something that used to be like a warm, like sweep becomes like a droplet-y sound. That is so weird.
Oh yeah,
like it becomes a really audible like sound.
That's how powerful this stuff is. Okay, so I just found a delay. I'm setting it to dry wet 50%. Oh, it sounds like laser guns. Oh, that's sweet.
Laser guns.
So what so what happens if we put all three of those together?
Yeah.
yeah, it's a little insane.
It's a little insane, but it's got a lot of life.
Oh, yeah. It's got a lot going on. I mean, I really just want to demonstrate how much you can do with just the EQ. Like, that's just with EQ. You're completely changing the game. Like,
yeah. God,
the last one I want to demonstrate is a slight movement over some lower harmonics over each note change. So each time I change notes, I set the automation to like move slightly. That's so important. It's such an important little trick, because what it does is it tricks the ear into thinking that each time you press a note, the instrument kind of heaves almost.
Yes. I was going to say, it's like, one, it sounds like it's built into the instrument, and two, it sounds like it's breathing. Like, it's so emotional.
Isn't it insane how many creative things you can do with this plugin?
Yeah, that's it. Wait, so that was just each time you played a different note, the EQ did a little sweep to a new spot and then hung out?
Yeah, just a random little sweep, like maybe by 200 hertz.
I'll
play the end. That one was big, and that one was really cool sounding.
Yeah, so the size of it changes too. So it almost like the emphasis of that note is changing, or how much the instrument is like heaving is changing, which is so cool.
Yeah, right? It's sort of like, you're right, it does trick the ear into thinking, oh, this is kind of just part of the instrument. The instrument is like whatever pad he's using just has this like lurching quality to it, or this like revving thing going on.
Yeah, but you could just add that to anything.
Yeah, right. Ooh. And you can, if you start, the thing that I want everyone to take away from this is, if you start thinking about EQ as a thing to add depth and character to what's already there, you can start trying to think outside the box a little bit.
My first idea is, imagine like you're doing some harmonies and you got, you know, 6 or 7 vocal layers, but they're sort of in the background and reverbed and they're supporting something. And then you do that exact trick, so it's like almost like the whole choir sort of heaves in that way, or the whole chord does. I wonder if it would sound good on vocals, or if it would just sound inhuman or what.
Oh my god, I have to try that. That's a great idea. I've never thought about that before.
It's just everything on vocals is like, vocals are so special, you know, they're just a different beast. So I feel like every effect I see, I'm like, how would that sound on a voice?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that honestly, vocals have a lot of harmonic information in them. They're fun to play with.
Yeah, that's what makes them so rich, I guess, right?
Yeah. But I mean, things that I don't even have time to demonstrate, like a wub bass trick. Can you imagine a bass with a lot of high harmonic content, like a saw bass, that every time you want the bass to like wub, you automate the high cut to like get more high end in there for a second, like wow, 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 that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine like deleting fundamentals or adding fundamentals for like either a sucked out sound or a sound that sounds sort of artificial? Can you imagine, like, if you have a hi-hat that sounds too metallic, finding those high harmonic frequencies that sound metallic and just sucking them out so that the hi-hat sounds, like, much more dull?
Yeah, interesting.
You know, there's so many things that you can change with EQ. You can change your entire instrument.
That's fascinating. And you know, when I'm flipping through like making a drum beat, like hi-hats, for example, I'm flipping through a bunch of hi-hat samples. I'm like, no, 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 no. Oh, that's kind of interesting. Like all of a sudden I need to have a whole nother lens on too, where it's like, oh, what would that sound like with just a little EQing or one of these EQ effects that, you know, you taught me today? Like, what would that sound like? And that opens the doors, like maybe a lot less knows. It's like, oh, this one will work because I can do what I want with it with EQ.
Yeah, that's so good. I think one of the best thought process to get into is, that sample is pretty close. I wonder if I can like wrangle it into a place that I want it to be with EQ. Like, I wonder if I can like change it enough to where I like it. I wonder what would happen if I did this random thing. So you just start playing with the EQ.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great spot to be.
And I mean, it's like you either have a sound in your head and you're learning an effect to help you get something close to it, or you pick something and you have a happy accident and you find a new sound. It's like kind of a win-win.
Yeah, it is really a win-win. There's nothing wrong.
Sweet. Well, feeling good. I'm feeling good about EQ. I feel like there's things I want to try. There's things I want to do. Yeah. What do you think, Marty?
It's fun. Gosh darn it, it's fun.
You sold me. It's fun. Especially when you play Glory Days. I mean, that's so cool. That's such a cool effect. And also, I was kind of thinking all of these were sort of short-term things, like literally in time. Like, you do a little sweep here or there. But that Glory Days thing, it was the whole intro was slowly doing something. So it's like even when you're halfway done making a song, you're like, whoa, maybe I should just EQ this middle section. Like, that's a crazy thought.
It is a crazy thought, but why not? Why not put it on your master fader and just
why
do
not?
It for the whole mix?
Yeah,
who cares?
Break rules. It's awesome.
Do
sick.
It.
All right, well, is that a wrap? We got anything else?
You know, that's all I got.
Let's just wrap it. That's sweet. I want to go try that stuff like right now. Cool. All right. Well, everybody, thank you for listening. I'm not sure what we're doing next week. It's a surprise. And send us an email. Let us know what you want to hear about, what you like, what you don't like. thetuneshedpodcast@gmail.com. We love emails. We're old school. Plus, it'd be crazy if we said text us. And yeah, until next time, catch you soon.
Bye.